Danny Ainge on the madness we're about to see next week, Kemba Walker on the short turnaround, and Tommy Heinsohn on this Thursday Locked On Celtics. Millie's, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter and host of this Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you for joining the show, downloading it. If you're new, if this is the first time that you're doing it, welcome aboard. Hope you enjoy the show. Regular listeners, welcome back. Love you. Thank you for making this show the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. Really appreciate that. All the ratings, the five-star ratings, the good written reviews and all that stuff. That's what powers it, so thank you very, very much. On today's show, Danny Ainge, who spoke to reporters on Wednesday, talked about a lot of different things. In this show, you'll hear what he has to say about the madness we're about to see next week. In segment two, Kemba Walker on the short turnaround, his thoughts on how that knee is going to go. Third segment, I'll share his thoughts on Tommy Heinsohn. And as an added bonus, something that I did on Twitter, I don't usually come up with trade ideas, but I put one out there because there was a rumor about the New Orleans Pelicans and the Atlanta Hawks talking about a third team getting involved in a trade. So I said, hey, I have an idea. And that got Twitter buzzing. So I'll talk about my idea also in the third segment. So Danny sat down on a Zoom call to talk about a bunch of things. And as I've mentioned here a couple of times, we know that teams are talking. We know that teams are negotiating. There's a lot of trade talk going on. It's like a dam holding back a raging torrent of water, and it's cracking. And at some point next week, this sucker is going to break. And Danny Ainge knows that this is going to happen. So he was asked about it, and here's him talking about getting ready for the craziness of next week.
We're ready. You know, we're ready for it to begin. We're ready for the draft. We're still trying to make some deals before the draft and, you know, to improve our team. You know, we have our list of players that we will try to pursue in free agency. But as you know, those things, you know, we don't know who everyone's going to draft. We don't know who else is interested in the same free agents that we might have. We don't know exactly. Depending on what deals that we're able to do or not do will depend on the amount of money that we can offer free agents. So there's a lot of unknown factors. And I mean, draft day, the 19th and the 20th are going to be crazy. We'll be resting up and being ready for that battle.
I guess in that same respect, you know, you just said that adding four rookies to this team would not be ideal. Everybody knows that. Other teams know that. How does that impact your position of leverage when you're trying to make these moves?
Well, you know, one of the challenges is that, you know, this is not a great draft, but it's a fairly deep draft. And when we're looking to trade players, you know, not every rookie is the same. Not every rookie is a 19-year-old that needs his hand held and needs to spend a year in the G League. And, you know, some rookies are much more mature, ready to step in and play right away, at least a certain role. You know, when you draft a player like Semi Ojeleye or Grant Williams, I mean, they're just grown adults. And then there's other kinds of rookies, as we all know. So that matters too. And so not all rookies, not all draft picks, you know, have to be kids that have their hand held, and that, but there are many rookies that come in and are the hardest working, the most diligent. And so like those will be factors too, if we end up using picks.
He didn't really answer my follow-up, but that's okay. I didn't expect him to really give me a good answer, but the Celtics are trying to make moves. They're open to making moves. They're looking to make moves before the draft. And this is something that I've talked about on the podcast before, that this is an opportunity for the Celtics to make some moves before the draft so they can shore up some of their deficiencies rather than going into the draft and on draft day and trying to make some deals that way. Now, can he do it? Will he do it? As he said later on, it doesn't mean that it's not always going to happen when you the way you want it to happen. And we sit here and you sit here and say, when something doesn't get done, we say, well, what was Danny doing? What was Danny doing? Of course, that's what we like to think, that Danny is sitting around and doesn't want to pull the trigger on something, or he's not working, or he's not whatever. I'm sure that there are deals that they want to do. And he even mentioned it in one of his answers about overvaluing players. They just like certain guys. They know what their worth is. They feel like they know what their worth is. And maybe they are willing to do some deals, but sometimes salaries don't match up and you can't find a third team. There are plenty of instances where the Boston Celtics and another team say, yeah, okay, we want to do a deal. Yes, we want that player. You want this player. All right, well, we can't get the salaries to match. You want player A. We want player B. Player A and B salaries don't match up. We need a third team to get involved. Well, that's where things get crazy, because third team comes in and says, oh, hey, yeah, what do you want me to do? No, I'm not interested in this. I'm not interested in that proposal. I'm not interested in that proposal. Sorry. So we get to the next third team, and they say, well, what about this? And one of the other teams are not interested in that proposal. A lot of that stuff happens in the NBA, in front offices. This is why it's hard to get deals done. We sit here and we dream up deals. Like I said, I'm going to show you one in the third segment, which admittedly is probably not the best. But anyway, we go on to the trade machine. We go through salary cap numbers and we say, okay, this is a deal. Here's a deal. This works. Guys, go do this deal, please. But we're not in those front offices. We don't have to deal with owners. We don't have to deal with the different dynamics from different teams. We sure as hell don't know what the other teams are thinking. We barely know what the hell the Celtics are thinking. We try to make our best guess. So the Celtics are preparing themselves for a crazy 18th, 19th, and 20th. And that's going to involve a lot of moves. I don't know what to expect, man. I really don't. Other than I'm sure next week my head is going to be spinning. I'm sure next week it's going to be, you know, late nights and a lot of holy shit moments. But gird your loins, because it's coming. Danny Ainge told us it's coming, and I'm guaranteeing you it's coming. And whatever the Celtics are able to pull off, I don't know. I'm sure there's a plan A, B, and C, and we'll see how far down the line that gets. Now, like I said, it's easy for us on the outside to make deals. The Locked On Podcast Network on the Locked On NBA podcast started on Wednesday its annual mock draft. If you didn't listen to the day one, it sounds like an actual draft show. I mean, it's really the best produced show that we've done, I think. They've got like background noise. They have our own local expert desk. They have Chad Ford, John Hollinger, and others, Jeremy Wu from Sports Illustrated, analyzing the deals that are done. It's amazing the way they've produced this show. And so picks 1 through 6 were on the Wednesday feed. Thursday is picks 7 through 10. And I will tell you, you should absolutely listen to the Thursday show, even if you didn't listen to the first one, which you should, because the Celtics and their GM, me, pulled off a trade into the top 10. So I can't wait to hear what Hollinger and what Chad Ford and what Jeremy Wu think of the deal that I pulled off, the player that I selected, and I want you to listen and talk about it and let me know. Hit me up on Twitter at @RedsArmy_John, because I think I stayed true to what the Celtics' goals would be. Maybe I overpaid a little bit, but I don't think so, you know, especially for this draft. We'll see. But that's Locked On NBA Mock Draft. You should absolutely go check it out. If for nothing else, to give you kind of like the taste of draft coverage, like I said, when I first put it on, I was like, wow, they did a great job. I know it's my boss and everybody, and I don't normally, you know, kiss my boss's ass, like, but I'm not. It was a good show. It was a really good show. So I'm looking forward to what they think about the Celtics move into the top 10. So make sure you're subscribing to that, as well as subscribing to the Locked On Celtics podcast. When I come back, Kemba Walker and how the Celtics expect him to hold up on that short turnaround. He is going to need to bust through a lot of walls, and maybe Built Go can help him a little bit, just like it helps me and it can help you, because it is the solution to breaking through a lot of physical and mental walls. Is it that little lull that you hit in the middle of the afternoon at work where you just want to go to sleep on top of your keyboard? I have felt that way a lot of times. Is it that lull that you hit before you hit the gym and you say, I don't want to go work out right now? Built Go is a healthy replacement for your energy drink, but the energy is not fake. It comes from the people who made Built Bar. You know how much I love those. Doesn't matter what your wall is, you can break through it with a little 1.5-ounce package, so it's easy just to put in your pocket, in a briefcase, a work bag, purse, whatever it is that you want to carry it in. You can use it to power through the rest of your day. It's an energy gel. It's like a 5-hour energy without that crash feeling. And it comes in 3 delicious flavors like peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. So this workout gel combined with collagen protein helps it get into the system pretty fast, and it's easy on the stomach. I can feel the effects pretty quickly, and it's loaded with good stuff like beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine to get you going. Also, B6, B12 vitamins, and that collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better, and I know that I could use that help as much as possible. So go to BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Whenever a team loses in the conference finals, it's usually early June. And so a team eliminated at that point gets 4 months off approximately before coming back to start the next season. Last season was obviously very different and an aberration. This season is obviously different and quite an aberration. And the Boston Celtics are in a spot where instead of 4 months off, they're going to get 2. That's 2 months that guys aren't going to have to recover. That's 2 months that guys aren't going to have to ramp up for the next season. That's 2 months that everybody could use. Even after the layoff that of the hiatus, the body really goes through a lot. And I don't know that everybody really appreciates how much guys put themselves through to play NBA basketball. It's not just like a pickup game. It's not just like, hey, yeah, we're throwing out there and we'll go play. There's a lot of work that goes into it. A lot of physical and mental energy. And a 2-month turnaround is going to be very tough, especially for a guy like Kemba Walker. And I've brought this up when the proposal first came up for a late December start. I didn't like it. I don't like it for player health. There was a report recently on ESPN that a lot of team doctors, a lot of medical people across the league are not really fond of this idea. But here we are. Money talks. And they're going to do what they need to do as a league to get back on track. And this is going to be the sacrifice. Players of this season are going to be the ones who sacrifice to get back on that schedule. So, obviously, Kemba signing a four-year, $140 million plus max contract to join the Celtics has only played 1 year of that deal, and he missed time due to his knee. And now, 3 years left on that deal, what do the Celtics think? I asked Danny Ainge, how do the Celtics expect Kemba Walker to bounce back after the short turnaround?
Yeah, so I don't know the answer to that yet. But whatever it is, we'll be ready for that. And I have all the confidence in the world that Kemba will be back and healthy and fresh and ready. When that is, you know, what he's doing right now is very important during this offseason. But, you know, we know how good of a player Kemba is and how good he can be. And, you know, last year was a very unique situation too, and this upcoming year is very unique. But, you know, we have to put Kemba's health at the front as a number one priority going in. I mean, in regarding Kemba, we have to make sure we got three more years with Kemba at least. And we're excited about those 3 years. He's a terrific player. But, yeah, there could be maintenance issues during the off season and early part of the season, but at some point he'll be back and ready to go.
This ties into what we were talking about in the first segment, because the Boston Celtics know that they have a certain window and they know what they have. They know their limitations. They know the injury. Danny Ainge was, you know, kind of non-committal on a lot of this. I don't know the answer to that yet, but I'm pretty sure he knows the answer to that. He's not going to come out and tell us right away. But he does know the answer to this. He knows exactly where Kemba Walker is. I think maybe he might not know the precise timeline, but he knows that Kemba is going to have to come back and load manage. He knows that they're going to have to ramp him up and strengthen that knee, which means probably no preseason games, which means probably limited time in practice, which means a lot of the stuff that we saw in the buildup when the league resumed in June, and they went from June to July and into August, where he was feeling good. And I know that kind of went away, but the plan that they had from June, July into August is probably going to be the plan that they have December, January, February, maybe even into March. That I don't think Kemba Walker has a normal, quote-unquote, regular season. Now, this, again, will be a unique situation. The league should be looking at ways to limit travel. We've already talked about this. They're going to look into baseball-style series where the Celtics can go into New York and have a four-game road trip without having to travel. You play New York twice. You play Brooklyn twice. And those are four of your road games. A 72-game schedule, if you do 36 home, 36 road, if that's the breakdown. I'm assuming that's the breakdown, but I don't know how they're going to schedule this. But if 36 road games, you can knock out four right there and then go to Philly and knock out two more. Short trip. Minimal travel. Hell, you could take a bus from New York to Philly. That's a short ride. And maybe they do. Hell, why not? Because why go up in a pressurized cabin? Let me tell you, that actually makes a difference. I know that they fly this luxury, you know, chartered plane and all of that stuff. But the pressurized cabin has an impact on inflammation. If you're going Boston to Philly, why not? Go on a, you know, see if you can schedule a charter, you know, a few charter buses and take the drive. That might be better. I don't know. I'm just spitballing. But point is, you go to Philly, that's six road games right there. That's what, 30? But, well, I don't know what percentage that is. I was going to do math in my head, and I realized, John, you really suck at math. So, but that's a good percentage of your road games right there in one shot. One road trip, you get 6 road games done. You could do more if Toronto is not allowed to play in Toronto. Then you could do more if they put, because it would make perfect sense to put Toronto in New York City or in New Jersey and play. They could do in New Jersey at the Prudential Center, which has been brought up by a couple of different people. And the Celtics could just bust to there, play 2 against Toronto. You play 8 road games right there. Now that, I believe, is 25% of your road games. Now that I think I got. 25% of your road games, somebody's going to call me out on this, in one road trip, which is really important. If the league can allow for that, if the Celtics can pull that off, then that's really important. Minimize the flights, minimize the travel, minimize exposure. Now, 2 weeks, it'd probably take 2 weeks for this, but that's okay. But 2 weeks in New York City, the New York City area, boy, I don't know if I trust that. I don't know if I trust. You really got to trust these guys not to go out in the New York City area or not have arrangements made for friends to visit, quote unquote. That's going to be a potential COVID nightmare. But from a basketball perspective, that would be very helpful. Back to the topic at hand for Kemba Walker's knee, because maybe he's not playing, and some of those would be back-to-backs, and I'm going to bet that he doesn't play in many, if any, back-to-backs this season. But if he can play in these games and not have to travel and be in one city and get knock out a quarter of your road games in that one shot, that's really going to be a big help. But this plan is going to be in place. That strengthening plan, that maintenance plan is going to impact Kemba Walker, I'm going to guess, for most, if not all, of the season. There will be a ramp up. The advantage this time around, I know the advantage would be that he's fully healthy, but the advantage is they now have a 72-game season rather than 20 seeding games to ramp him up. So they can slowly get him from no more than 30 minutes. Then you get him up to 32 for like a couple of weeks. Then you get him up to 34 for like a couple of weeks. No back-to-backs, certain, you know, practice schedule, a certain strengthening schedule, certain, you know, no back-to-backs or, you know, whatever. Maybe he doesn't travel on certain road trips. But anyway, the Celtics are going to have to make sure that they have the roster that can handle that. The backup point guard spot is going to be very important. Marcus Smart, who's behind Marcus Smart? Who's that third string point guard? That's going to be very important. Who do they have? Do they keep Gordon Hayward? Does he stick around? Does he handle some of this? We don't know what Gordon Hayward's plans are going to be. And we don't know what anybody's thinking as far as what are the free agents that the Celtics are going to get. Are we going to get a little hand tipping as to what the plans are if the Celtics are able to make their moves before the draft? A lot of questions, but there is zero doubt in my mind that Kemba Walker's knee and that progression is going to be a long, slow slog. And Kemba's not going to like it, but if they can get through it and do it the right way and get him fully ready for a playoff run, if it can hold up, then great. And then he'll have a full, hopefully, 4 months to rest that knee and get back to being a little bit more of himself, with a few months off and a strengthening program to maintain that throughout the rest of his time in the NBA. So I just mentioned Gordon Hayward. I've got a trade idea or at least some framework of the trade idea that I dropped on Twitter. I'll talk about it next. Also, Danny Ainge's thoughts on Tommy Heinsohn when we come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Anybody who knows me knows that I hate making fake trades. I don't really like fake trades. This is a tough time of year for me because that's all anybody wants to send to me. But I understand that this is part of the job. I understand this is something that people really, really like. Judging from the reaction of a fake trade that I made today, Wednesday, that I got on Twitter, people really, really love it. I can see why people get hooked on it because the engagement behind it was insane. Like, my mentions were flying all day long over this fake trade that I suggested. And so I can understand why people get addicted to making these things, but I'm not comfortable with it because you inevitably overlook something. And so this started with the report that the New Orleans Pelicans and Atlanta Hawks were talking about a trade involving Drew Holiday and the sixth pick and involving a third team. So immediately I was like, oh, third team, eh? Well, I know a third team. And I know that Holiday makes a good amount of money, like some $23 million or so. And I said, hey, okay. Celtics might be a player in this. So I dreamed up this scenario. I kind of threw it together. And this is wrong, but this is what I tweeted out. Hayward and the 26th pick go to the Pelicans. Holiday and the Celtics' 14th pick goes to Atlanta. JJ Redick, the 6th pick, and another player, maybe Jeff Teague, maybe Dwayne Dedman, some other kind of role player, goes to Boston. So this is why I put it out there like this. Atlanta, what are you giving up? You give up the 6th pick and a couple of role guys. But what you get is Holiday and the 14th pick. So with the 6th pick, you net the 14th pick in a fairly level draft, as Danny Ainge described it. It's not great at the top, but after that, it's deep and level for a while. So you can get that pick, that 14th pick. You get Holiday. I thought, okay, Holiday would be great. A vet, defensive presence in the backcourt next to Trae Young. I thought, okay, this is good. The Celtics give up Hayward and their two of their draft picks, their 14th and 26th. They basically trade up to the 6th spot and they get a couple of role players. JJ Redick, a shooter that they need, some other bench help from Atlanta. That is not necessarily that important to me as long as it's a useful player. I said, okay, that I think works. But then I looked at New Orleans and people talked to me about New Orleans. Says, you're really giving up Holiday to get back Hayward in the 26th pick? And I said, okay. Now, my justification was that the Pelicans get a good veteran wing. He kind of fits playing next to Brandon Ingram. You've got a point guard there in Lonzo that can distribute, but Hayward kind of fits wherever you need him to fit. I think he can fit most places. So I said, okay, you know, I think this kind of works. Now, this could be the framework. This is not the final deal. But if Hayward wants out and an Indy thing doesn't work out, then you can send him to a place where it's a decent team. Okay, you want to send him, you want to do right by him and say, hey, this is a good team. Well, what good teams are going to want him? Look around the league. I thought New Orleans makes sense because lots of young guys. Hayward is a good veteran presence. He can do a lot of things. I think he's still very good. If Holiday hasn't requested a trade, so there's no rush, but if they're talking about the trade, the report is that they were talking about the trade with Atlanta. So if they're talking about the trade, well, let's talk about a trade. Now, Atlanta doesn't want young players anymore. They got a ton of young players. They need a veteran. Holiday would work perfectly there. He really would, I think. So we can adjust this deal, and maybe Atlanta giving up 6 and the and basically one. Basically, they're giving up the 6th pick and one of their bench guys to get Holiday would be, maybe that's enough. From their perspective, all they're sending, they're sending out 6. They're basically drafting Drew Holiday with the 6th pick. And then they're giving up another player. Maybe the Celtics send the 30th pick or a second rounder. Now, instead of 14 going to Atlanta, New Orleans gets 14 and 26. And also Gordon Hayward. Is that better for New Orleans? To give up Holiday? The problem is you're giving up Holiday and Redick. And all I care about for the Celtics here is getting a couple of role players, and if they can get that 6th pick, you can get one of the people that we've been talking about. If Okongwu is still there, or Hayes is still there, or Halliburton is still there, one of these guys, you know, Okoro, if you want a defensive player to come in off the bench, there's going to be a good player, a decent player, at that 6th pick that could probably help in some way. So to me, I'm looking at giving up 2 draft picks and Gordon Hayward to get 3 useful bench players. Is that possible? I mean, going to New Orleans, is that going to be a place that he wants to go? Is he going to like it in New Orleans? I don't know. Is his family going to like it in New Orleans? I don't know. I love it in New Orleans. So, but I'm not Gordon Hayward. I'm actually very much not Gordon Hayward in many, many ways. So that makes me say that he might not like the city necessarily, but I don't know if he's going to, but that's, you know, that's not up to the Boston Celtics. So that's my trade idea. That's my thought process. Maybe you have to sweeten this somehow for New Orleans. You probably do. You probably need to send something back to New Orleans. Is it a young player? I don't know. Am I willing to do Hayward, the 2 picks, and Romeo Langford to get Redick, the 6th pick, and a bench player from Atlanta? I don't know. I don't think so. Would you go with Carson Edwards, New Orleans? I don't know if that's the case. Hey, would you take Tremont Waters? Can the Celtics guarantee Tremont Waters and you can get him back, Louisiana, LSU kid? Huh? Maybe. I think there'd have to be some sweetening, and maybe Atlanta can send something New Orleans way that can help sweeten this. I think there's potential for a framework of a deal. Is it the final deal? No, because my original idea, New Orleans rejects. But is it the framework of an idea? Can somebody think of something that makes this better? Maybe. This is why I don't like making these kinds of trades, because it kind of, by the time you actually start to think about it, like, oh, wait, does this actually make sense? Like, Boston does this deal. I think Atlanta does this deal. New Orleans does not. And now how do you get New Orleans involved to and like wanting to do this deal? Is always the hard part, trying to look at it from the other team's perspective. And when I first sent this out, I didn't really do that well enough. So, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. People have been tweeting me thoughts all day long, so chime in. Why not? Before I go, I want to share Danny Ainge's thoughts on Tommy Heinsohn. Yesterday's podcast, if you didn't listen to it, was a tribute to Tommy as the player, as a coach, as a broadcaster. Danny Ainge joined the Boston Celtics in 1982. That was right around the time that Tommy and Mike Gorman started calling games together locally. And so Tommy was around and able to talk to Danny Ainge. So Danny Ainge's relationship with Tommy Heinsohn spans all the way back to his rookie year. And Tommy, in pure Tommy fashion, was always willing to pull a player aside and give him some thoughts. And that's what he did. Here now is Danny Ainge on Tommy Heinsohn.
Wow. Tommy was just a great friend. When I first came in as a rookie, he took me under his wing. He was a guy that was, spent a lot of time encouraging me. It was a rough year as a rookie coming in the middle of a year. Just gave me a lot of great insight as a mentor. I've loved Tommy. I used to go back, leave the first quarter, the first half of games, and sometimes I'd go in these last few years, and I know that Tommy would be back in the in one of the offices, and he'd be there all alone and watch the game on TV, and I'd go in and talk with him a lot. So everywhere in between. I mean, I've listened on the buses, on the airplanes, to Tommy's stories that I love hearing. He's a great storyteller. He has such a wealth of knowledge of the Celtics' history. And I just, I'm going to really miss having Tommy around. He was fun to be around. He was a guy that you knew always had your back, and he was passionate about it. Like, he didn't always agree with you. He didn't always think that the Celtics were doing the right thing. Even though he was always in our corner on air, he was a very loyal friend and supporter of the team.
Not much more to add there. Again, listen to yesterday's podcast for the tribute to Tommy Heinsohn. I wrote one on masslive.com as well. This is going to take a while to get over. It's going to hit hard. It's going to hit hard in that first broadcast when they pay tribute to Tommy. And we know that we're just not going to get games with Tommy anymore. That's going to be rough. Tomorrow is Friday. Hey, that's good. And that's a mailbag day. Every Friday right now is Mailbag Friday. Email me, jcaralis at masslive.com. J-K-A-R-A-L-I-S. jcaralis at masslive.com. Ask me your question. It will either be answered on masslive.com or here tomorrow on the podcast. So you may email me your questions. Could be whatever. Somebody emailed me a question about Tommy. Give me whatever. Questions about the Celtics. Questions about the NBA. Questions about me. Why not? What the hell? We'll see. I will answer all appropriate questions. And maybe some mildly inappropriate ones. Who the hell knows? So email me, jcaralis at masslive.com. Also, reminder, the Thursday Locked On NBA podcast with the mock draft is going to be one you want to listen to, because you'll hear which spot I traded into, who I selected in this mock draft. There are some interesting selections already and some interesting names on the board. If you haven't listened to the Wednesday Locked On NBA, you'll hear who has been selected. And then the Thursday one, you'll hear who I selected. Tell me how I did in this trade as well. I'm out here making trades, baby. I'm slinging trades, even though I don't like doing it. I'm doing it for you. So check out Locked On NBA. Subscribe to that, as well as subscribing to the Locked On Celtics podcast. If this is your first time, you haven't done it, I hope I've earned your subscription. Regular listeners, thank you very much. If you haven't written a review or given this show 5 stars wherever you can rate and review things, especially on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, please do so, because that's what really, really helps. You have made this show the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world, and I am very much appreciative of this, because this is a free daily podcast for you. Every Monday through Friday, I'm here dropping a podcast for you, and hopefully you're enjoying them and entertained by them. When somebody asks you which Celtics podcast they should be listening to, please find it in your heart to share this podcast and tell them that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.